We've been doing a month talking about family. What is family? Talking about the way that God puts family together, and that our Heavenly Father is the reason that family exists in the first place. In fact, the scripture says that He is the one from whom every family on heaven and earth derives its name. So He's the author of family. He's put us together. Now, one member of the family that a lot of you may not know, because Wyatt hasn't always been here. He's been here some, been here not some, and there's reasons for that. But Wyatt, you grew up in this church, right?
Yeah, I went here for close to 12 years, I think, and then on and off after that, after going to college and
right,
stuff.
Exactly. So how old are you now?
27.
Okay. So you're the same age as this lady next to you, right? Were you guys in cradle roll together, or did they have that back then?
No, we grew up knowing each other, and all throughout church and through church activities. I know the Lidstroms very well, and then met Bino once he got married, and so I've been with this group ever since. So
yeah, so Bino and Chelsea, go ahead and introduce yourselves. So they are otherwise known as Mr. and Mrs. Something. So
did you forget our last name?
Bino and Chelsea Peck.
No, we do go by Mr. and Mrs. Something. When as Mr. and Mrs. Something, we write and perform music together.
And you didn't grow up in this church, but we pulled you in, which we're really, really glad about, actually. Yeah.
Especially me.
Yeah, right. So, hey, you guys had something really exciting happen over the process of the last 2 years. Can you tell us a little bit about that within a brief period of time?
Does anybody remember when we were part of a KCMS contest and so many of you guys voted for us? And well, we won the contest thanks to you guys voting.
Yeah, if you didn't know, yeah. You know now.
Very succinctly, through that contest, we were able to meet some people out in Nashville in the music industry who introduced us to other people and introduced us to other people, and God kept on basically opening one door after the next, where we ended up being able to go to Nashville this May and having a gentleman named Mitch Dane, who's produced Jars of Clay and J.J. Heller and a lot of people that you've probably heard of. We not only got to become his friend, but make an album with him.
Yeah.
And a bunch of us went. You had like 200 people down at this little pub down in Ballard for your album coming out party, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't called an album coming out party. What was it? It was your
album release party.
Album release party. There we go. Okay. And how many of you were there? A bunch of you were. It was a pretty fun evening. The album is done, produced, and it's so good. Oh my goodness. Yeah, so you gotta get their album for sure. And they'll sell it to you for only ten. Was it still only $10?
Still only $10.
Yeah, okay.
Still only $10.
I mean, it's the best deal around. But
oh, yeah.
So this is pretty thrilling for you, what happened, right? Chelsea, how do you feel about this? Why are you thankful to God right now?
I think I'm thankful most that He has chosen us to do this, despite not necessarily feeling prepared or feeling qualified to be doing music even more full-time than we have the last few years. I feel really blessed that God gives us songs and that we're able to write and record and share that with other people. I for one, never grew up thinking that I was going to be doing music like this ever. I did social work in school, and Bino did philosophy actually, but Bino really felt like music is something he wanted to do with his life, and so I've been able to come alongside him and make music together, and it's really special. And we've already heard a number of people that have been really, really touched or blessed by the songs, and that means so much to us. That's why we do this. I mean, it's not it's not to be great, although we want to do things with excellence. We want to be vessels for the Lord's Spirit to move, and that's why we feel so blessed, is because he's allowing us to be those vessels.
Yeah. Wyatt, you and Chelsea are born in the same year. Your life has definitely been marked by a few more hurdles than hers has. One of the reasons why it's up here is because we had talked several months ago about, well, I guess it was as you were going through your operation or after the operation, and Wyatt said, you know, this church has prayed for me so much. So many people are asking all the time, how are you doing? And I'd love to have the opportunity to just express my thanks to them. And I said, well, man, the Thanksgiving service would be a perfect opportunity to do that. So, Wyatt, tell us a little bit about your story with Marfan syndrome and all of what that's meant, especially in the last few months here.
So I have a condition that's known as Marfan syndrome, which is a genetic mutation. So I was born with it, but basically it's disorder of the connective tissue in the body, and it's what, for some reason, also gives me my height. So when people ask, you know, what'd you do to get so tall? I'm just like, well, I was born with it. But it also has its setbacks, though, because one of the major health concerns with it is that your aorta, which is the main blood supply to your body, can essentially expand over time and then tear, which is what happened. And so I had that happen a little over 2 years ago, and they were able to fix it. It was just all of a sudden, spur of the moment thing. I was just, you know, going about my day, and it just happened. And so they fixed me up and they patched me up, and it's taken a little over 2 years to do it in stages and to fix it. But during that time, just like Pastor Steve was saying, just an incredible amount of prayers and just gifts, and I can't, it's overwhelming. I mean, not only from Bino and Chelsea here, but family, relatives, you guys, I just want to thank you so, so much. There's just people even that I'm never going to be able to see necessarily that have been praying for me. Like people, I had my grandpa tell his nurse who contacted her church in Louisiana, and they had me on their prayer list. So it's just, it really hits you, and I just want to thank you all for those of you who have kept me in your prayers, and just, again, I can't thank you enough. It's been a struggle. I've had 5 surgeries so far, and they're monitoring me now for the rest of my life to keep me in check, but so far, it's good. No complications, and again, I just am overwhelmed. It was just like having the rug pulled out from under me. So,
you know, the scripture says, be thankful at all times for everything in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's a hard one to wrap our minds around, especially when there are circumstances like the kind that you've dealt with. Tell us about what it's like to, you know, to be thankful in everything, or to strive to be thankful in everything, when, you know, you're dealing with the kind of adversity that you've dealt with, I mean, since you were small.
Yeah, I, like, especially after the first surgery, lying in the ICU there, I just got so, it's emotional, which I'm not a really emotional guy, but it, like, I just started thinking about all the people that were praying for me, and also the people that were in the, like, room next to me in there, because we're only separated by a curtain, and you know, overhear what they're going through, and I was just like, Lord, bless them, be with their family, and they were having similar type operations or procedures done, and I just, I know I'm basically sitting there by myself crying, thinking, you know, God, be with them, bless them, bless the nurses. Also just, you know, thank you for the people. One by one, I just started naming them, people I could think of who were there and who knew. And over time, it just grew and grew. And it just gives you a sense of how, you know, fragile life is, and you're thankful for God that he's in control. Because I thought I was 25 when it happened, and I was just like, oh, I'm on top of the world, you know, it's like I've got nothing to worry about, and then boom. So thankful to God, thankful to Pastor Steve, my family, who got me through it. Like I said, it's just, it's almost like I haven't caught up with the amount of things that have been happening behind the scenes as far as those people who have expressed their concerns or shared, you know, I'm still in recovery, and it's just, again, so appreciative, and I could go into detail about how, like, how God was behind the scenes of it all, but that would take a while, but it's a good story if you want to, and I'll tell you if you ask me. But
you know what? I'm sure there's a lot of people who'd like to hear the story. Yeah, I mean, in a way, it is a miracle that you're here, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can share a little bit if that's okay. Basically, what would happen, is a week before the incident was I was at work, and there was one customer we had in the whole place. It's a small little eatery, but he goes up to me, and he goes, hey, how tall are you? I'm like, well, 7 feet. And he's like, you have Marfan syndrome? And most people, you know, don't know what that is. And I was like, oh, yeah, like, how'd you know? And he explained to me, oh, I work at the UW, and I you know a lot of geneticists, a lot of cardiologists. You should go, and because he knew about the risk, and you should go there. And I kind of shined him on. I was like, oh, okay, yeah, sure, you know, kind of, yeah, well, because I didn't know. But anyway, a week goes by, and I am at the driving range because there's no one to go with me that day. My brother was out training for a job in New Jersey. My grandfather was in the hospital. And so my aunt and uncle were down to visit him, and my dad was also in the hospital for a knee surgery. And so basically, I was about ready to go by myself to do to go to lunch and to get a bucket of balls in, and my uncle calls me right before I'm about to head out the door. Hey, you want to do something today? And I told him, yeah, I'm about ready to go do this. And so I was like, oh yeah, come along, you know, let's go hit a bucket of balls and stuff. So basically, we went, and that's where it happened, was at the driving range. We were in mid-swing, and I just felt this tremendous pain, went into shock, and had I not had my grandfather not been in the hospital to have my uncle down to go with me, I would not have been able to drive literally to the hospital. And it's a matter of hours when this happens. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how long, if I had called an aid car, how long that would have taken. And also, they sent me to the U, which was also, again, God had, the guy not told me, because they were originally going to send me to Cherry Hill, but right as I was being sent in the aid car, about to close the doors to let me go, the doctor comes out and says, no, we're sending him to UW. So just amazing. So.
Yeah. Well, it is so cool how family comes around us at points of need like this. And you know, being in Chelsea, you're part of your family now. I don't know how you're going to pull it together to do your song right now, but they wrote a song for, so go ahead and get ready, because you're going to do it right now. We'll just sit here. They wrote a song for Wyatt that is just kind of a tribute to him, to his circumstance, to this journey that he's on. Thanks, Bino and Chelsea, for sharing it with us. And Wyatt asked if they could do it on this Sunday morning, so.
When you
Thanks, you guys. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Or from Ephesians 5:20, which is also in your notes that are in your programs, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. I mean, that is a conundrum in the Christian faith, isn't it? I mean, how do we give thanks for everything? The only way that that can possibly work is if we trust the sovereignty of God. And I think that part of what family is all about, part of why family is so important, and when I'm speaking of family, I'm really thinking more broadly of the family of God, of God's people gathered, how he makes us brothers and sisters. The reason family is so important is because they remind us of the truth that God is sovereign, that he's got it, that he's got it in his hands, that he's in control. Norman Geisler, he says that sovereignty is God's control over his creation, dealing with his governance over it. Sovereignty is God's rule over all reality. Charles Ryrie says that a sovereign God could be a dictator, but God is not. Or a sovereign could abdicate the use of his powers. God has not. Ultimately, God is in control of all things, though he may choose to let certain events happen according to natural events or natural laws which he has ordained. I was thinking about the sovereignty of God, and I was reminded of a passage that's a doxology in the book of Romans, kind of right in the middle. After Paul has done a huge, sweeping discussion of God's work of grace in our lives, and he ends it with these words, "For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be glory forever." For from him and through him and for him are all things. That's a description of the sovereignty of God. Everything comes from him, everything comes through him, and everything is ultimately for him. Or some, actually, translations, because the preposition in Greek can mean both, translated as to him. So it's this idea of everything is moving in his direction. When I think about family, I think about family fitting into that those three categories in a way. That God, you know, why did he create family, and why is family so important? Well, the first point is that all things are from him. So we thank God for family. In your notes, there's that one little blank there. We thank God for family because it's from him. It's his gift to us. I love some of the ideas that came out of this last two, 3 weeks as we've talked about family together, and as we've interviewed some of the parents up here. And one of the things that last week. Now my brain is going blank because last week it was Jen and Jack before, it was Tammy who said last week how that God had to speak to her and say, "You remember, you're the best mom for your kids that they could possibly have." Why? Why could she trust that? Because God is sovereign. He put her there. It was his hand. It was not by accident. It was not in the least by accident that Tammy is the mom of David and Stephanie. And she could trust the fact that this is a gift from him. You see? That's why we can thank God for family, and we can thank God for the family that's around us. Paul was continually thanking God for family. Turn to the back of your notes. Let's just look at it really quickly. He was thanking God for family, and when he thanked God for family, it was always in the context of the broader, you know, the body of Christ, the brothers and sisters. So he says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. We always thank God for the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? We ought also to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love all of you have for one another is increasing. But we ought also to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. Thanks just resonated out of the Apostle Paul. And he was thanking God for family. We've got Thanksgiving coming up, and many of us will be joining together with family. Some of us, maybe we won't be with family, or maybe Thanksgiving is a reminder of, oh, there's brokenness in my family, or there's hurt that's there. But if we trust the sovereignty of God, we can trust that even my broken family was part of his plan for me. And as difficult as it might be to say, God, thank you for my family. Thank you for them in all of their quirkiness, in all of their bentness, in all of their sinfulness. But Lord, thank you for these people you put in my life. And Lord, thank you that you've given me a bigger family than that. These people who are sitting around me right now. Just look around. Look at about three or four different people. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. So, because all things are from him, we thank God for family. But also, all things are through him. And so, we thank God with family. We don't only thank him for family, we thank him with family. You see, he's given us an avenue through which to express our thanks. We express our thanks through this agency that he's given us of the people around us who are the family of God and the family, our nuclear family, who he's placed us in. The church, you see, God's family was created to the praise of his glory. So when we come together, one of the most powerful things we do is to express gratitude. Wasn't it cool expressing gratitude this morning in worship and all together as a family? I mean, it just warms our hearts. That attitude of gratitude is at the very core of what makes the family of God different, that makes it as special as it is. And if we come together and we're not expressing gratitude, then we're a family that no one really wants to be around. You know, we're the grumpy family on the block. That, you know, the other kids just don't want to go and play there because it's like, no, that's the grumpy family. You see, we express gratitude even in the midst of adversity and struggle. You know, that's part of the reason why the Thanksgiving holiday is as powerful as it is. Because it's, you see, it's this whole idea of we're given a broader group through which we express our thanks. We express our thanks is more meaningful. It has more gravitas when it's done together. That's why the little ceremonies that you have as you come around the Thanksgiving table together, those are deeply meaningful, because it's like, yeah, it adds weight to it, gravitas to the whole thing. It's like, yes, I humbly come before thee, O Father, and express my thanks. You know, however it might be expressed, there's something symbolic about it. The more deliberate, the better. The more deliberate, the more life-changing. The expression of thanks as a group adds weight to the activity. And so even for us as a nation, do you know that the whole idea of having a national day of thanks was something that our nation worked on for a number of years? There was a woman named Sarah Josepha Hale. She was a magazine editor, and she worked for 40 years back in the 1800s to try to establish a national day of Thanksgiving. She wrote many editorials championing her cause in the Boston Ladies Magazine, in Godey's Ladies Book. She worked and worked and worked at it. In 1830, she got New York State to have an official Thanksgiving Day. In 1852, she succeeded in uniting 29 states. But finally, after a 40-year campaign, in the middle of one of the deepest and darkest moments of our nation, when was that? In the middle of the Civil War. In 1863, President Lincoln agreed to establish the last Thursday of every November as being a national day of Thanksgiving. And it came at a time of deep pain. Let's just read the proclamation from Abraham Lincoln. It is the duty of nations as well as of men to own their dependence upon the overruling power of God, to confess their sins and transgressions in humble sorrow, yet with assured hope that genuine repentance will lead to mercy and pardon, and to recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scriptures and proven by all history, that those nations are blessed whose God is the Lord. We know that by His divine law, nations, like individuals, are subjected to punishments and chastisements in this world. May we not justly fear that the awful calamity of civil war, which now desolates the land, may be a punishment inflicted upon us for our presumptuous sins to the needful end of our national reformation as a whole people? We have been recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved the many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power, as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to God that made us. It behooves us then to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins, and to pray for the clemency and forgiveness. It's pretty amazing that Thanksgiving Day, as a national holiday, arose out of a powerful sense of corporate repentance and a brokenness. And you see, there's a greater weightiness to it because we're doing it together as the family of the United States of America. And so as we celebrate Thanksgiving on this coming Thursday, let's not forget the spirit in which it began, and let us come before the Lord with repentance and with humility and with the recognition that, oh Lord, you have blessed us incredible, incredible ways. But let our thanks have now a weight to it, because it comes with humility as well. We thank God with family. And the final is that we thank Him as family. You see, everything is for Him. Everything is for Him, ultimately. And the fact that we are family is for Him. What's the most famous? Just think about it for a minute before it comes up on the screen. What do you think of the most famous Thanksgiving picture, family picture? Anybody? Yeah, Norman Rockwell. Okay, show it. So here it is. This famous painting of the Thanksgiving feast. Grandma and grandpa, or you know, old mom and dad coming together, and then the various family members. There's weird Uncle Fred in the front and the right looking at us, you know, whoever he is. And then there's, you know, lots of pictures that have come after that. So here's one. You know, it's the stereotypical, okay, you know, grandma and grandpa and all the family coming together. Or the next one, it's been, you know, it has other you know, renditions. You got the little girl coming and bringing the turkey instead, or it's been parodied. So here's you know, one of my favorites of the parodies. That cracks me up. No one's laughing, but or it's been made a comic. Here, next one. I love this one, actually. You know, everybody's on their cell phones or tablets. That's probably what your family is going to look like this Thanksgiving. But let's come back to the original. Who do you think of all the people in that picture is the most thankful, or are the most thankful? I think, you know, though they don't have the smiles beaming on their faces, I think it's Grandma and Grandpa. Why? Because it's theirs. They've got the longest reach, and that's their family that's come together. When God's family comes together, who is the most proud? He is our Heavenly Father. When you, as your family, you know, your nuclear family come together, who is, and there's harmony and there's joy and there's bubbling relationships that are happening, who's the most delighted? It's the Father from whom every family in heaven and earth derives His name. And the very fact that we are family brings praise to Him, brings glory to Him. We praise Him as family. You know, on the way here, I heard I'd like the worship team to come on up, because we're gonna move into our time of worship, but I was listening to a Muslim scholar who was reflecting today, and he was being interviewed about what's happening with ISIS and about the crisis that we have in our world. And he was pointing out that, you know, that the idea, what ISIS brings is not only just the radicalness, because it's this idea of a caliphate is very, very attractive to Muslims. And he said, you know, we're not going to conquer this by preaching moderation. Try preaching moderation to teenagers. How well does that work? He said, what has to happen is there has to be a compelling vision that captures their imaginations. Well, actually, the compelling vision that captures the imagination is that there is one God and one Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And every tribe and tongue and nation is being pulled together under one Father. And that is a compelling vision. But we don't preach that vision unless we live it. Unless we live it out. And so we, in expressing our thanks to him, begin to capture this sense, this feeling that, you know, this reality that he's binding us all together as one family. And so would you stand up with me, and I know not everybody likes it, but would you just grab the hand of the person next to you? Father, we call you Father. We thank you for making us your children. We thank you for the work that you're doing in this world to draw all men and women and boys and girls and little kids and old grandmas and grandpas to yourself to make us one family. And oh Lord, we are so thankful. We don't deserve any of the goodness that you give us, but we gladly welcome, Lord, the love that you pour out and the grace that you pour out. And so, Lord, we're going to express our praise to you, and the little kids are going to come up. In fact, I think they're already gathering out there, and Lord, we're going to just praise you for just a few minutes in this place, expressing our thanks to you. But we say, oh, Lord, we could never deserve your grace, but we love you and we pour out our lives to you. In Jesus' name.